God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Share a little while this morning on God's time. But not about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their own assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Let's bow our heads in the word of prayer together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for how good you are to us and how blessed we are to have you in our lives. We know, dear Lord, even when we face difficult times and we're struggling in our spiritual walk with you, that you are there with us all the time. And you give us what we need in our lives all the time. Help us to learn from you and grow from you. In your sweet name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Now, time is an interesting topic, isn't it? I don't know about the rest of you. This is probably the best amen I get all morning. But I wish they just leave the time alone. Amen?
Amen.
We go from slow time, fast time, all different times. And I was looking this past week. Isn't it amazing? Just in the United States of America, we've got Eastern Time Zone, which is over there, Central Time Zone, Mountain Time Zone, Pacific Time Zone, Hawaiian Time Zone, Alaskan Time Zone. And I know some of you have been all the way through and went through all the time zones. Sheila and I went out to California one time, and when I got back to Kentucky, I was so messed up, I didn't know what to do, because I've been on all these different times. Well, we're so lucky in the state of Kentucky, God double blessed us, didn't he? Because not only are we on some on Eastern time, we're what? Blessed with Central Standard Time. And that's an interesting thing to go by. When over in Metcalf County, I'm sure you may do this here in Monroe County too, we have slow time and fast time. Y'all know what that means? Slow time and fast time. I had a church over on the Greene County, Metcalf County line, Lyletown, that I preached at for 7 or 8 years. And it was always amazing when I would get up to make an announcement about something that we were going to have at the church. I would always have to say that that's fast time or that's slow time. One of the things we all can agree on this morning is there's only 24 hours in a day, aren't there? There's only 7 days in a week. It doesn't matter what time zone you're on, that doesn't change anything. Doesn't change anything. In my life, I've had days that went by fast. Y'all had those days? Where seemingly you got up in the morning and you're going back to bed all of a sudden because the day had plenty of activities that was in those days and you went through some of those things. And most of those days that went by fast were days that you enjoyed those days, wasn't it? Activities that you enjoyed doing. And probably on those days, God blessed you on those days, didn't he? And God put a smile on your face and God let you see some amazing things on those days. I've also had those slow days, haven't you? When you say to yourself, you ever said these words before? This day is never going to come to an end. Why is that so? So, if one more thing, I've said this, maybe you have never said this. If one more thing happens today, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. But you know what? On those fast days and on those slow days, there's still how many hours? 24 hours. It's the same day. We as Christians realize in our lives, as we grow in our lives, that God's time is different than Eastern Standard Time or Central Standard Time or any of those time zones, isn't it? God's time is what we should be more worried about, don't we? We know, as the Scripture says to us, that we need to be on guard when? At all times. Because one of two things is going to occur. God is either going to call us home or what? God is going to come back and to receive all of us to be with Him. Be alert. Be watching at all times for the glory of God. So it doesn't matter what time zone you are, when God calls you home, you're going to what? You're going to go home. You're going to go home to be with Him, because that is God's time. That is God giving us what we need in our hearts and our lives. But the question this morning is, what do we do in being alert? How can we be prepared and on guard and be ready when God calls us home? First of all, I believe we need to work on the things we need to change in our life and things that we need to work on. Back in the day, when I was doing radio and doing ball games on the radio and basketball and football games, I would drive all over the country. I'd go to every high school gym around in the fourth region and other regions. And a lot of times when I was coming home, all I had on my mind was the basketball game that just happened, and I was trying to unwind just a little bit and have a good time on the way home. Well, sometimes Brother Tim Eaton talked about the other day that there's a speed limit that's posted on the side of the road. And that speed limit is something we're supposed to what? Abide by. Well, if we're honest, if we had a speed limit altar call every week, we'd have a lot of people down here praying. Amen? Some of you pray come to church this morning, wouldn't you? Right? A speed limit altar call. When I was coming back from Edmondson County, our boys and girls had both won a game. I was in a very good mood, very happy, and I was coming the back roads, and I just got out there on the Glasgow Road and was heading towards home, and you know, everything was great. I wasn't looking down at the speedometer like I should have been, right? I was just gliding on home, and I knew I was going to get to go home, go to bed, go to sleep, and get up and go to work the next morning. Didn't have a care in my mind. Wasn't thinking about anything else. Wasn't thinking about what I needed in my car or anything else that I needed to have. But as I turned down the Glasgow Road, I was moving down towards Edmonton, getting closer to home. All of a sudden, guess what I saw behind me? Blue lights. And they were flying up behind me. You know, they say stress causes your blood pressure to go up. Well, it does. Or, you know, they say if you don't drink enough water, your blood pressure goes up. Or a lot, you're taking too much salt, your blood pressure goes up. Let me tell you what makes your blood pressure really go up. There's a KSP officer behind you, right? And I looked, and it was Bobby Maxwell. Me and Bobby had known each other somewhat, not as good as we know now. Just to let y'all know, Bobby checks on me about every 2-3 days to see how I'm doing. I didn't know Bobby that great back then. But all I was thinking as I saw Bobby Maxwell walking up towards my car was this: Lord, I hope I have my driver's license. Lord, I hope I know where the insurance card is. Lord, I hope she'll pay the insurance. Lord, I hope I know where my bill of sales are, where I can show him that. Lord, I've got to get everything. But you know, before he pulled me over, I wasn't worried about any of those things, was I? But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, being pulled over, all these thoughts started coming to my mind. I was thinking, well, how fast was I going? Was I going so fast that I might not make it home tonight? What's he going to do when he gets up here? Well, most of you know, I always heard that in the office that Bobby Maxwell would even give his mom a ticket. So I knew pretty much that I was going to be in trouble. Bobby walked up to me, as Bobby does, and knocked on the window, and I rolled my window down. He said, "How you doing, Paul?" And I'm saying, it wasn't Bobby then. I said, "How you doing, Mr. Maxwell?" Right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do, Tim? "How you doing, Mr. Maxwell?" He says, "Doing good." He said, "How'd the ball game go tonight?" I said, "Went good. Boys and girls both won." He said, "Well, I listened in for a while. You and Glenn did a very good job." But the whole time I was thinking, boy, here comes the ticket. Here comes the words. Here comes what I didn't want to hear. And Bobby looked at me and said these words: "Slow it down. Have a good, safe trip home." Woo! What do you think? Say then? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that everything's going to be all right. I kept that story to myself. About a week later, it slipped out because Bobby was over at the house talking to me and Sheila, and Bobby expressed those things, didn't he, honey? And I found out about all those type of things. But you know what? Up to that point, I wasn't very worried about my insurance or my driver's license that I had in my pocket if it was expired. I wasn't worried if I had the right little sticker on the back of my car. I wasn't worried about all of those things because I didn't think it was going to happen that night. Right? As Christians, there's a lot of things we just don't think about getting in order, is there? But there's a lot of things in your life you need to be prepared for. When Bobby Maxwell pulled up behind me, I was not ready for him to pull up behind me. So many people in the world that we have today are not ready for God to pull up behind them, are they? They're not ready in the things in their life that they need to change and be alert and have those things changed in your life. If you knew today, and I don't have this power, but if you knew today that God was going to come this afternoon or during this service this morning, what would need to change in your life? What would you be worried about and saying, oh, I got to get this done. Oh, I've got to change this. Oh, I've got to make sure that this is not a part of my life anymore. I need to get rid of that. I need to go talk to that person and ask for forgiveness. I need to talk to God. I need to pray to God. And if I know God's going to come this afternoon, I need to get my life right. Well, folks, one of the things that we are for sure of, we don't know God's time, do we? We don't know God's time. We know God's time is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we don't know what day He's going to pick. We don't know. Only in God's time. So we have to be prepared for God's coming when? All the time. All the time we have to make sure that we are alert and we are ready for God to call us home. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to stumble, does it? It doesn't mean that you're not going to do things maybe that you shouldn't do. It's not going to be, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden your life is going to be completely perfect. We just have to make sure that we are ready. When will God call us home? That's a big question, isn't it? If I could answer that, boy, we'd have more than this, these people here at church today, wouldn't we? We'd be packed all over. That preacher down there at Bethlehem, he can tell you when God's going to call you home. Well, praise be to God, I'm glad I don't have that responsibility, right? Only God has that. Over in Matthew 25:13, it says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You do not know the day or the hour. Now, I preached, been preaching since 1987. I think that's back about when that started, way back then. And I preached all of those years on a couple of topics there. I would preach, and you've already heard other preachers say before, I'm going to be here till I breathe my last, what?
Breath.
Well, you know what? I found out that that's not true. Because I've been, any of you have ever been in major surgeries before, had major surgeries before. You ever been on a ventilator before? Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. To be honest, I was on a ventilator 3 times. The first time that I was on a ventilator, I had my open heart surgery that was done. I decided they wasn't taking my ventilator out fast enough. Guess what I did? Pulled her out. Pulled her out. But that whole time, I wasn't breathing. That ventilator was what? Breathing for me. The second surgery, they woke me up way too early. And I laid there in the bed for 2 hours on the vent, wide awake, couldn't breathe, couldn't swallow, couldn't talk, was just there. The third time, I was on a ventilator for 4 days. And finally, that was taken care of. So I can tell you from experience, it's not your last breath you what? Breathe. So I've also heard other people preach, and I preach it too. When you're the last beat of your heart. the last beat of your heart. Now, I know I've got a couple of folks here that's had open heart surgery before. And they can atone to something. You can live without your heart beating. You know that? You can live without your heart beating because they put you on bypass. And there is a machine that works your body, and you continue to live without your heart beating. You might say, well, preacher, I don't know about that machine. Well, see, your preacher knows for sure that you can live without your heart because they took my old one out and did what? Put a new one in. So we can actually say something today. And you know for sure, it's not when you breathe your last breath or when it's your last beat of your heart. You are called home when what? God calls you. When God calls you. A lot of people say, well, Brother Paul, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to go on. I think I've lived a good life. I've done everything that I can. I've given everything that I can. I've raised my kids. I've raised my grandkids. I've had a good life. I've had all of those things that go on in my life. But you know, I've always believed, and you've heard me say this many, many times, the reason that you are still here is God is what? Not through with you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan. And when that plan is done, the end occurs and he calls you home. He calls you home in one of two ways, and we've already discussed that. He either comes and gets you, or you breathe finally all the breath that he has given to you. So what do we have to do? We have to make sure that we are ready for that. I've heard many people say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. But what? I really don't want to go right now. Really don't want to go right now. Really don't want to face those things in my life. We as Christians have to realize it is God's time. When God calls me home, I believe that God could have called me home many, many, many times. And the rest of you face things in your life, you say, only by the grace of what? Grace of God that I made it through that. Only by the grace of God was I able to overcome that in my life. Well, it was God's grace, but it was also God's plan. It was God's plan for you to continue in your life. So we know today that we need to get our heart and our life and our house in order. And we also know today it's God's time, not our time. It's not our last breath or our last heartbeat. It's when God decides to call us all home. When God calls us home, what happens? Well, we know as Christians, we can go down through one of two paths, can't we? One of two. I heard on the radio this morning, this world has many choices, but eternity only has two. This world has many choices, but eternity only has two. And as Christians, praise be to God today, as Christians, we know in God's time, when he calls us home, where are we going to go? That wonderful place called heaven. That wonderful place that's called heaven. Praise be to God today for that, right? Knowing that we made the choice. And we said to ourselves, God, no matter when, whenever you call me home, whenever you say my time here on earth is done, no matter when that is, God, I know that I've made the right choice. I've made the choice to be in heaven. And I believe today, truly and honestly, that choice comes by the love of God, doesn't it? And for God to say to you, I love you this much. And not only I love you enough to take care of you while you're on this earth and be there with you when you call on me, when you pray to me, and when you need me the most, but also I love you enough not only to take care of you now, but take care of you in the hereafter. That I am going to be there. When I think about heaven, I know as a preacher, a lot of people come up to me and they say, "Preacher, what's heaven like? What is it going to be like? What's going to take place there?" Well, you know, for sure, your preacher can't define it completely, because I've never had the opportunity. Stayed there a little while, but I've never had the opportunity to stay there for an amount of time. So honestly, we don't know what's going to happen in heaven, but I can tell you one thing that should put a smile on all Christians today. We know that God's going to be there. Amen? And we know what else. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to be there with us, leave us alone, and we never have to have no more sickness, no more sorrow. Well, that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? No more gossip, no more issues of the world. We're not going to have to worry about what party we are. We're going to be the party of God, aren't we?
Amen.
And we're going to be worshiping with God, and we're going to hear God, and we're going to be with all the people we love and all the people that has went on before us. We're going to be able to be a part and be in their presence again, and we're going to feel that love again, and we're going to feel that presence of God, and we're going to know something, that this is not something that comes to an end, is it? That God will reign for what? Forever and forever. So to me, that sounds like a pretty good place to go, don't you? I give it a 5-star rating, wouldn't you? Everything's there. Everything's taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything that is good, everything that is good will be in that place called heaven. So when it's God's time and God calls Christians home, praise be to God, we've got something to look forward to, don't we? But remember I said, how many choices are there? There's two. And this is a choice nobody else can make except yourself. Because I honestly believe all of us here at church this morning, if we had the choice, we want everybody to go to heaven with us. Amen?
Amen.
With no doubt. With no doubt. You would like your mind to be clear, and for you to be able to say, there's not a single person in my family, not a single person that I work with, not a single person that I know, not my neighbor or anybody else. There's nobody else that I can think of that's not going to go to heaven. Folks, we know today that's not true, is it? There's still a lot of people out in the world today that's not made that choice. The other choice is, we know, and you've heard preachers preach about it, and you've heard others talk about it a lot better than I can talk about it. We know that that's a place called hell, don't we? Where everything that I said about heaven, where all those good things, where it's peace and harmony, and everything is great, and everything is wonderful. My Bible teaches me that hell's the exact what? Opposite. There'll be wailing. Think about that. And gnashing of teeth. And what's so amazing about this? Remember I said, I don't want to scare you into heaven. I don't think that works. Because I think if you can get scared in there, you can get what? Scared out. I want you to know about the love of God. And what is so amazing about that love is God sent His Son to die upon the cross so you had the opportunity to make the right choice, right? Where you had the choice to make the right choice. Hopefully today, all of you that can hear my voice today says, you know what, preacher? I know what choice I've made. And I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I know when God's time is up in my life. I know where I'm going to be. Without any shadow of a doubt, well, praise be to God for that, right? Praise be to God for that. That doesn't mean you can't do it. Don't stop working for God between now and then. But you know you're working for God and doing your very best to bring others to Christ. But you know that heaven is your home. You might say, well, preacher, maybe I'm on the other end of that spectrum. Maybe I'm the one that you were talking about. Got some things in their life that need to get in order. Some things that need to change in my life. Some things that I need to look at and I need to say, God, I need to let go of these things. I need to turn my life over to You. What's the wonderful thing about turning your life and being saved and turning it over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Jesus already knows what you've done. All he wants you to do is what? Ask him to forgive you. He knows all the things that you have done. And guess what? Even though he knows all the things you have done and all the bad things you have done and all the people that you've hurt and all the lives that may have been hurt by you, God still loves you. And God still wants the very best for you. God's time. I don't know how long. I've had people ask me before. It's always a question that stumps me. They say, how long are you going to be able to preach? Well, a few years ago, I thought I'd preached till I was like 95. But there was a course about 3 years ago, I may have never ever preached again. So you don't know, do you? We don't know God's time. We don't know God's plan. All that we know today is one sweet day. That decision is going to be made, isn't it? And God's time is going to run out. And we have to, at before that time, make that decision and make that choice for heaven to be our home. Today, if you never make that choice, we'd love for you to do it today, wouldn't we? We'd love for you to say, before God and for everybody that's here today, you know what? There's been a change in my life. There's been a change in my life. And where there was all types of hurt and all types of pain, God has washed that. And all of that now is joy and all of that is love. Today, that's a choice you need to make. We as a church will pray with you. I'll pray with you. And most importantly, God will pray with you, and you'll feel His presence. Listen to Him this morning as we have our closing song.